This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
President tries to cut a deal. Will it work? And what happens to the Dreamers? Part of the discussion coming up here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you're swinging into a couple of fabulous days. Boy, it's been a really crazy kind of week. If we go back and have those conversations about the Kentucky shooting and the teen in the Kentucky shooting tried to call his mom before dying, which is so incredibly sad to think about that, except for that poignant, too, in reaching out and trying to get somebody on the other end and just, you know, absolutely awful, awful, awful. So we've got two 15-year-olds dead and another 15-year-old accused of the shooting, had the first court appearance in Kentucky, and they're trying to deal, the families are trying to deal with it, and obviously the school is trying to deal with it as well. And, boy, seeing that video of the kids running and what happened is just absolutely frightening. This is happening too much in the schools, and it is incredibly sad. And with everything I can muster up, I really feel for any of those families affected by this. And as a country, I feel for all of us that we are dealing with this too often, frankly. How about this? The president actually dropped a plan to give Dreamers citizenship. He was posing with the Prime Minister, Theresa May, at the World Economic Forum, and he unveiled in what he thought were the broad strokes, I guess, 1.8 million people could be brought to the U.S., who were brought to the U.S. Illegally as children, right? It would offer some legal status to those people. It would also require $25 billion for a border wall, protection to the north and protection to the south, by the way. So this is pretty big. There's that road to citizenship for the Dreamers. But will Congress sign off on it? That's the whole thing. So while the president is off at Davos, Switzerland, or Davos, and doing those huge meetings where the discussion is about where the world is, the whole economics of what's happening in our backyard and everybody else's, it's pretty interesting. So while that's going on closer to home, so much of the discussion, the politics of the day, is about also the testimony, or what the testimony will be from the president when it comes to the elections and whether or not there was collusion or with the Russians, and there was Russian interference, and what did the president know, all that kind of stuff. So they're talking about the testimony and when he would testify. The lawyer for the president says the legal team will make testimony, that will make the testimony call, not President Trump. So that's going to be at least down the road from where he is now. And we'll see if it, you know, and we'll see what that yields, if anything. I personally don't think much is going to come out of that. But it's interesting because there was a story in the New York Times that President Trump almost fired Robert Mueller, the special counsel overseeing the Russian investigation, last June. And the Times quoted four people who were familiar with the story and said the president ultimately backed down, so decided not to do that. And boy, that's interesting, because you're wondering what he knew or didn't know, I suppose. But Ty Cobb, President Trump's personal lawyer, told the Times in a statement, "We declined to comment out of respect for the Office of the Special Counsel and its process." So that makes you wonder, right? Does it do anything to this upcoming testimony? No. I mean, Trump has said, I'll do it under oath. I'll talk under oath. I have no problem with that. He said he's looking forward to it. He's looking forward to the interview in the upcoming weeks in the Moscow investigation, but he's going to follow the advice of his lawyers. So whatever the lawyers ultimately decide should happen and shouldn't happen, I suppose, is part of what would be mixed in there. The world really freaked out over this story, and I can see why. What parents take 13 kids and tie them up and abuse them, and who knows what was going on in this house. But this was in California. You had a son in his 20s who, the oldest son, who the police are saying was tortured by the parents, chained part of the kids that were chained to the beds, malnourished, so their growth was stunted. And one of them was at the going to community college, and he was named to the honor roll for a couple of semesters. His mother would bring him to school, wait outside his classes for him. Wow. He didn't get a degree, but he was on the president's honor roll in the fall of 2015 and spring 2016. I mean, he went to algebra and public speaking and English fundamentals and all of that. So he and his 12 siblings were rescued last week when their 17-year-old sister climbed out of a window of their house about 60 miles southeast of L.A., called 911. The parents, David and Louise Turpin, were arrested accused of abusing the siblings ranging from 2 to 29 years old. But because of the severity of the abuse allegations, which they're still investigating, they're not naming the siblings or any of that. So you had kids from all ages, I mean, across the board, and you have people questioning, why didn't anyone notice this? How could you not have seen anything? And, oh, it's just the craziest, oddest story, and thank goodness those kids were rescued, and that's the bottom line. Whatever happens with the parents, those kids are out of that situation. Oof. Out of that situation. Which was horrific. Too many years tied up, chained up, to imagine what they might have missed or what they have missed and what they don't understand about the world today. That is crazy. Imagine being out of the world for 10 or 15 years. In their case, 10 years, let's say. It just stops you dead in your tracks. I mean, I really believe it. It stops you dead in your tracks when you hear that. And then how about this? This is a story that I knew from somebody that covers the NFL, but Vince McMahon says Kaepernick would be welcome in the new XFL, but would have to stand for the anthem. So the billionaire chairman and founder of the World Wrestling Entertainment confirmed he is planning on starting a new professional football league, entering the market, even with his TV slump for the NFL. He did it on a webcast earlier in the day. The XFL will kick off in January 2020, play for 10 weeks. So this is the second attempt after the original XFL, backed by WWE and NBC, folded after one season. Professional football is the most popular program on TV in the U.S. Games attract $2.42 billion in ads during the regular season. And when people talk about weakness, yes, there's some weakness in falling off, declining somewhat, but it's still weakness where you're killing it across the board. You're just expecting more growth when you see the $2.42 billion. So Colin Kaepernick and others will probably end up, I would assume, you shouldn't assume anything, but could end up in the XFL. Will the XFL survive, though? Could it really survive this time around? I don't know. Food for thought, I think. Coming up next, we're taking you to the movies here on America Tonight.
Time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Movie, I, Tanya. It was phenomenal. Allison Janney was amazing in it. Margot Robbie was incredible, too, as Tanya. Allison Janney played her mother, and it took you through that craziness of the whole Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing. And I think it kind of humanized Tanya Harding, who was really getting beaten up by the press, had some fans, but was really taking a licking on the other side and had such an abusive upbringing, and you really see that portrayed in the movie. But I would say thumbs up. It was intriguing, and I like the whole true stories thing when you turn it over. Besides thrillers, that would be right up there with them for me as far as genres of movies. This movie has really taken off because they keep making it again and again, just different versions of it. So let's take you to The Maze Runner.
Rise and shine.
What is this place?
Can you tell me your name?
I can't remember anything.
Who put us here? We don't know.
What's out there? The maze. Everyone, when those doors open, the runners look for a way out. No one has ever survived a night in the maze.
What happens to them?
We don't belong here.
I think it's time we find out what we really have to get.
Everyone
everything started changing the moment you showed up.
It's a girl.
Thomas. Why are we different?
What if we were sent here for a reason?
You're not like the others. You're curious. But if you want to stay here, I need to know that you're going to follow the rules.
Follow the rear. I sweat when I think about being stuck in a maze. I was stuck in a maze once of hedges, and it was frightening. Ooh, scary, scary stuff. So the maze, like I said, is a continuation of what we've seen with the maze in the past, just throwing other obstacles in the way. All right, in the meantime, let's go to this movie, The Kickboxer.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it is time for you to defend your title in another fight to the death.
Will you spend the rest of your life in prison? Meet Mongoose.
Yeah. Superior human specimen. Bigger. Stronger than any human being on the planet.
Never again. We have to find a way to match this up. They kidnap your wife. You have to start a train.
The strongest man doesn't always win, but the smartest one does.
Your strength against his weakness. What's his weakness? That's a good question. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. Bring it.
You interrupted my meditation.
Really? Did that help you stay calm?
I guess not.
All right, so you get it there. Pretty self-explanatory, I would say, and we'll re-rack that and go through some of the particulars. But I want to make sure we get to this movie because there's a lot of hype over this, a lot of tickets sold, a lot of people interested in it. The Black Panther.
Tell me something. What do you know about Wakanda?
Third world country. Textiles, shepherds, cool outfits, all the front.
Explorers have searched for it. Called it El Dorado. They looked for it in South America. But it was in Africa the whole time. I'm the only one who's seen it. And made it out alive.
Dude, I can see you.
The world is changing. Soon there will only be the conquered. And the conqueror. You are a good man. It's a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
Thank you.
Yeah, so how about this? The Black Panther pounced. The Marvel Disney deal heading for an opening in the $100 million to $120 range. That was for the four-day President's Weekend. Tracking showed it nailing it. There's no question. Advance tickets for Black Panther hit new highs. So how about that? Chadwick Boseman stars as T'Challa, who takes over as the king of Wakanda after his father is killed, and that's shown in Captain America: Civil War. So it's interesting. The film stars Angela Bassett, Forest Whitaker, Michael B. Jordan, some really good people, and the script apparently was just a really killer script. So I'm not surprised that it's finding its audience. Kickboxer that you heard before that has Jean-Claude Van Damme is one of the stars in this. Christopher Lambert, Mike Tyson is also in it. And it's the whole idea of the retaliation is when MMA fighter Kurt Sloan is forced into an underground death with a death match with a 400-pound drug-enhanced killer. He seeks help from the legendary master, which would be Duran, which would be Jean-Claude Van Damme, and prison fighter Briggs, Mike Tyson, to survive the fight. Two good people, I would say, to train you if you're going to be in that situation. So there are people who love that kind of stuff, and they give it a thumbs up. And it did, this movie actually did okay. That, they say it's just kind of interesting. And I was reading a couple of different reviews that it comes the closest to capturing the bone-crushing film of the 1989 hit. So sometimes with repeats or familiar themes, it doesn't always go so well. But this one didn't crash and burn, if you know what I mean. So there are some good movies out. Like The Post is out. The Greatest Showman is out. The Molly's Game is out. I saw that. That was a great movie. I, Tonya, that is the one I saw just a short while ago, and that was an excellent movie. So there are some options. I think when you come through that holiday swing, some of the better movies are produced. Thanks to Andy, and happy, happy birthday, and to all of you who are celebrating birthdays. We're kicking it to the next seg here. Hang with us on America Tonight.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Show Don Bill, who's written a book called Power's Trace. And you know what's interesting about that is it definitely hits on themes I like, because you know I've talked about this on America Tonight, but a crime, small town police. I just think, really, what's that like? What's that about? And we're talking about a book that takes place in a novel that takes place in Georgia. Is very, very intriguing. And it also includes two prisoners who escaped while they were being transported back to the Louisiana prison farm, and they ended up in Power's Trace. So, Don, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about, first of all, what led you down the road wanting to do this novel?
I guess the basic part would be that I had the time to do it. I had already retired from the accounting work and the Air Force and all that. So I was kind of wandering around playing golf every day. I had this idea in the back of my head for quite a while, and I finally just sat down and started at it, and that's what came up.
Well, you know, they say when you write a novel, it's based on some things from your life, things you kind of embellish a little bit, things that you've learned along the way. So I imagine a lot of that is peppered into it. This is kind of interesting for people listening, the whole writing process. As you said, you were playing golf, which, by the way, I'm a kindred spirit there. I love to play golf. But you're right. After a while, you would want to do something else, and this was rattling around in your brain. So when you decide you're going to sit down, you're going to write this novel, from the time you started having all these ideas and you put it down on paper, on the computer, et cetera, how long did it take you?
To get started, probably about 2 years. Kind of, I had to find a place to put my wife, get her out of the way. So finally, I built a little room, a little office desk thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started going. I read someplace they call it a stream of consciousness. I think that's what I was doing. Just had an idea, and I took it from there and put a story together just in order. And it was a lot of fun, really.
So as you did that and you started to put it, stream of consciousness, were you sometimes people, when they write, Don, are really rigid and, like you said, you had to get a spot for your wife. I understand that, because you needed some peace. You needed to be able to take a breath and do what you were going to do. But did you have a certain time? Was it like, oh, I got to get up in the morning, I get my coffee, I start to write, and then I stop after a while? Or no, it just was when the mood hit you?
Oh, no, there wasn't anything like that. But I did get a routine going. We did whatever we had to do during the day, and then about 11 o'clock at night, I'd watch the news, go back in my little room, and start at it. And I could spend 3 hours, and I could spend the whole night back there, depending on how interested I was at the time. But I loved it. Dealing with these people was a joy for me.
Yeah, it's so neat because, as I said, Powers Trace is a fictional small town in Georgia. Small, small town. So tell us about the novel. Give us some tidbits on this little town and the police and what it was like for them. Long hours, small pay, right?
Oh, that's true. And I've been around the places here in Georgia, small town, and I talked to some of the guys. And they seem to like the job enough that they will do it without the big paycheck. And that really turned me on for that. So we went with that. But basically the book, I think you mentioned it a while ago, the bad guys broke out from a trip from middle Mississippi back down to the prison farm, and they ended up stealing cars on the way. And they wound up in our church, and it all began from there. In the meantime, I tried to put in all the little trinkets that you get from small towns. If you ever been in the Grand March, that was the highlight of their year. That's the one where everybody lines up, and they come down to the Grand Marshal and turn around and go back up, wind up with 64 people abreast charging the stage. That's their highlight. So if you can visualize it.
I can, and of course you and I both know in a small town, the police, everybody knows each other. It's kind of like Mayberry in a way. And I guess when you were writing it, as you said, you talked to some of the police in the area where you are, and did you get a sense of community?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all know each other, all love their work. You get them talking, and you can't shut them up. I've been there for
I love
but
that.
But I love it. I love putting these guys together, and they all like each other, and that's the reason 5-man police force can get the job done.
Yeah, so for you, when you were putting it together, and, you know, there's that arc in storytelling, so you have the excitement, the breakout, the panic, all of that, and then trying to catch the bad guy. So a lot of that is about trying to catch the bad guy. Did they have a hard time getting to the prisoners?
Well, it kind of fell into place. They had the GBI on them, the Georgia Bureau, and things like that. But there was no big push after these guys until they killed one of the deputies.
So that's sad drama when somebody in law enforcement is killed and one of your own goes down. Certainly people listening to this understand that. Then that becomes even more magnified whether you're in a small town or a big town.
That's true.
Yeah. What was the reaction to the book? Because I can imagine now people know you've written this book and they've heard about it. And what do they say?
Well, the people that heard about it were the people I know real well here in town, and I passed the book around. So I didn't have anybody pushing the book on the national level or anything like that.
Right.
But everybody that read it liked it, so I was satisfied.
And then, of course, the question becomes, once you start to talk about this small town and people fall in love with it, are you going to write another one?
Well, I wrote three.
So three, but and will you continue in that series?
Well, I haven't really tried that yet, but it started out as just one book. I was going to see if I could write a novel. And when I started putting all this stuff together, it wound up as an 800-page book. So I knew that wasn't going to work. So I just split it in three parts. I put the first book is more or less an introduction. It's only 170 pages. You can sit down and read it in about 3 days. Explains the town, explains characters and all that stuff. And then puts them into this bad guy situation where they're chasing him around town. But then it goes from there to the second book is battling with influx of drugs coming from the West Coast, and then it's getting down into the small town stuff. And they didn't know how to handle that, but they worked at it, got it done. The third book took on the corruption in the county government, those things. But anyway, that's what it was, and I had to split it up, so that's the way I put it in three books.
I like that. So you were really excited about it. You had this tale to tell, and you had a tomb. So you're right. You had to break it down into three different books. Now, so you learned a lot about the editing process. Obviously, you're loquacious, or you're that kind of writer, Don, that you were excited. You wanted to put in details. You wanted to talk more about the town. Is it tough to go through and cut things out and figure that out?
Oh, yes. That's why I've got to be 800 pages. I couldn't cut it out. I like these guys, so I let them work.
Do you have a favorite character?
Sure, the chief.
The chief?
Yeah, chief of police. Let me explain him a little bit. He's kind of cute. He's from North Florida. And out of high school, he enlisted in the Army, and they put him into the police, military police business in New York. And he couldn't stand the cold weather. So he kept fighting, and he finally got a transfer over to Europe into the CIS bit. And in the meantime, his mother passed away, of course. You got to have one of those in there. And he came back and got a job with Atlanta. And he worked his way up through the police force in Atlanta over about 10 years. Married a girl that was working for the mayor. And he was on the job. Everybody else had gone home one night. And he got a phone call that there was this disturbance down in the north part of town. So he went down the elevator to get in his car, and there was a guy down there stealing the car. And he turned around with a gun in his hand. And before old Lou could pull his, he got shot twice. Couldn't be a policeman anymore in Atlanta. So he and his wife, Bev, went south. Got a little place on the edge of a lake, and we're really relaxing. So I know that feeling. So he had got a call from the banker and the chairman of this little town, Powers Trace, and he went over and had a meeting with him, and they talked him into being the police chief because of all his college experience. And that's the way it began.
Wow. Fascinating story. Don, stay with us because we would love to have you come back on. So I just want to first have you agree to that. Will you come on and do another interview with us?
Sure.
Awesome. All right. So, Don, Bill, we're diving deeper into this cool little town, Powers Trace. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Leaning on your right wing, friends, cause no one's left and no one's watching. Another animal, just practical, while the sun's still on your skin. I
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
I'll tell you what, so many of you that listen to the show have called me with your frustrations talking about the lack of jobs, the skill sets you have, especially when it comes to manufacturing and steel in particular. Many, many of our great affiliates fall into those regions where you're counting on those jobs and you're questioning what's happening around the country. I'm so thrilled to be joined by right now Scott Paul, who is the president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing. And he knows all about that because they dive very, very deep. He does a terrific podcast. I would suggest you definitely tune into that, the Manufacturing Report. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's nice to have you on the show, but I feel the frustration of so many of my listeners who have children who wanted to go and follow into the footsteps of their fathers and their grandfathers and feel like they can't because the jobs aren't there. What in the world is happening? I thought we were working on infrastructure in this country and there'd be more jobs.
Kate, first of all, it's great to be with you and right back to you. I really respect your show and what you do. And you're right. I mean, here's the challenge, I think. You know, we're in a time where there's relatively low unemployment. The stock market is doing well. And yet you have a lot of communities where it is hard to find a good job. I was just in a little wedge of Wisconsin where there were a couple of thousand people that showed up for a job fair that one of those Amazon fulfillment centers that was having, and you can't make a career out of that. The kind of blue collar skilled jobs where you could achieve a middle class lifestyle, you know, save for your retirement, buy a home, buy an automobile, They're hard to find. They really are, but we can have a future in it. I mean, you know, the steel mills, the auto factories of our parents and our grandparents' age, you're right. Those are a thing of the past, but there is also a bright future for people who want to go into manufacturing, if we have the right policies. And this gets to your point about infrastructure and all of this. I mean, we still live in a physical world, and you just think, you know, you just look around right now and you see all the steel in your life that you don't even realize. So there's going to be a demand for things like steel, but are we going to have the policies that are going to allow us to be competitive in the global marketplace and also make sure that there's a level playing field, and that other nations are playing by the rules as well, so that we give our young people an opportunity to enter a really good career.
Yeah, I know you dive deep into this and talk to a lot of people like I do in Washington. And what is the feeling that you're getting? It's great. I love that you use the word level playing field, because it's not really level right now.
Yeah, and this is something that if you dial back to last year, Bernie Sanders was talking about on the Democratic side, Donald Trump was talking about on the Republican side, it really had some resonance with a lot of different voters out there. This idea that our trade policies haven't worked, that there is a better way to do this, and I see it too. And so, you know, the president, you know, won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and that kind of a trade message really resonates there with those steel workers and those auto workers. And what we've seen are a lot of kind of trains leave the station in terms of policy, like lots of ideas that have been generated or promises that have been made. But I'm very sad to report that, you know, none of them have arrived at their destination. They seem to have been sidetracked. You know, we're back to the same framework where it's hard to get anything done in Washington, D.C. There's been some resistance to things that the president is trying to do, even when there's some industrial state Democrats that want to do the same thing. And so we really haven't seen a lot of things that the president has been able to deliver on this. And I think, you know, part of it is where his focus is, but part of it is there's also this resistance in Washington, D.C. for changing the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there on the status quo. And we're speaking with Scott Paul, President of Alliance for American Manufacturing. And if we go back to our dates, and I'm really good, Scott, at keeping dates. I got this big notebook so I can keep up with policies. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that was talked about during the campaigns, as you're saying, is what was going on, certainly in the industry and with manufacturing, and keeping it in America and made in America. I do a segment on my show called Made in America, and we dig deep trying to find people who are doing it right here. Now, the exciting thing is, you know that too, and there are, and I know you explore this, the companies that are here that are keeping it in America, and of all the people and all the places that you've gone and people that you've talked to, what gets you really juiced and excited about what you're doing?
Oh, look, that's a great question. I am so glad you asked that, because I think there's a couple of things. First of all, there's this misimpression that people have that, if you're working in a factory, it's because you got stuck there and you're not happy with your job and you'd much rather be doing something else. And everywhere I go, and no matter what kind of a factory it is, you know, the men and women that I talk to are thrilled to have their job. They see it being something tangible. They're working with their hands and with their minds. They see a product at the end of the day, and it's actually very satisfying work. And then I think the second thing, and you're right about this, is that there's so many people who say, well, you can't make this, you can't make that, you can't find this in the United States of America anymore. And so I love the entrepreneurs who are investing in all sorts of new things. And you just think about, and I'll think this is something that everybody buys, like, you know, footwear or apparel. And most of it is imported. You know, almost all of it went overseas. And yet you see these folks who have said, said, well, I'm going to make it in America. And they've done it quite successfully from, you know, amazing sweatshirts that American Giant does to, you know, flip-flops that a company like Okabashi does, or there's a sock company in Alabama. I mean, you cover these too, and mm-hmm. we do on our blog. I mean, there's an almost an unlimited array of folks who are doing things. The only thing where I find we're falling short still is electronics and smartphones. And that's why I always remind Tim Cook that if he wanted to, he could do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he wanted to, because when you look at the dollars and cents of it, I still say, Scott, that economically you can make it feasible for these companies, and it gets back to what we first started talking about, the incentives and bringing that back into the United States instead of tossing it overseas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a combination. People always ask me, well, what's the one thing that would make manufacturing more competitive? Mm. And so if they ask it like that, I say, look, we need a strategy. You know, every state, every locality has a strategy to try to attract manufacturing jobs. I mean, you see when a company announces it wants to produce in the United States, all these states and localities get involved and say, well, come here, come here. But as a nation, we also need a strategy. And that doesn't mean picking winners and losers, but it does mean things like investing in our infrastructure. That makes our logistics more efficient. Investing in the skills and training of men and women who won't necessarily be getting a four-year college degree, but who do have skills or who want skills and can put them to work in a modern 21st century factory. It means a level playing field on trade and a trade policy that is not focused on a philosophy. You know, the Ricardo and Smith are nice in a textbook, but look at the real world and see what's going on and see what we have to do. And also to promote research and development that's made in the United States. We invent a lot of amazing things, and then they end up getting made in China. And so, you know, if we tie all of those things together and also have a more competitive tax code, look, I think that we can compete with anybody. I mean, we have the know-how. We are a manufacturing country, and we've been that for the better part of two centuries. And there's no reason why we can't do this if we have the right kind of public policies that are going to support it.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, last one. So saving the steel jobs, what can the people, the millions of people do that are listening to you and I speak right now? What can they do if they're hearing this and their blood is boiling and they want to help people that are in the field?
Well, look, we're reminding the president of his promise and to stick to it, even to work through this Washington morass. And so if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, we have a petition that we're sending to the White House. And, you know, we draw supporters from both parties, from every state. And it's like we do have to stand up for our steelworkers because they are the core of our manufacturing base. And they're the men and women who make the product that go into our battleships, our armored personnel carriers, our critical infrastructure. All of this we're going to have a big need for in the future, but they need that level playing field, and we want the president to follow through on his promise to provide that level playing field on steel.
All right. I'm urging all the listeners of America Tonight, go sign that petition, AmericanManufacturing.org, as Scott said. Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.